The foolishness of a countrywide Corona 19 shutdown. Analysis by Dr. Joseph Mercola. While health experts in the United States and many other countries are warning of a second wave of COVID-19 as we move into fall and winter, one nation that does not appear to worry about a resurgence of people testing positive for the virus and or hospitalizations and deaths attributed to COVID-19 is Sweden. Anders Tegnell, the chief epidemiologist in charge of Sweden's coronavirus response, has stated he does not believe Sweden will see a second wave with widespread contagion, as the country is seeing a rapid decline in positive tests, indicating herd immunity has been achieved. Sweden, one of the few countries that did not shut down schools or businesses or mandate strict social distancing or mask-wearing rules, choosing the route of natural herd immunity development instead, has been sharply criticized by many over the past several months. Rather than locking down the whole country, Sweden only temporarily closed high schools and colleges, banned gatherings of more than 50 people, and asked seniors over the age of 70 to self-isolate. All others were simply asked to respect physical distancing recommendations and to work from home whenever possible. Tegnell told The Guardian that the primary goal has been to slow the spread to avoid overwhelming the medical services. As you may recall, this was the original plan just about everywhere. The difference is, Sweden actually stuck to the original goal, whereas other nations have twisted response plans to, apparently, preventing infection transmission altogether, even among those for whom the risk of such infection is vanishingly minor. At this point, Sweden is proving to be a valuable test case, demonstrating just how ineffective and unnecessary the global shutdowns have been. Countries that enacted draconian freedom restrictions are faring no better than Sweden, which allowed its citizenry to largely go about their business as usual. As noted by the National Review back in April of 2020, in theory, less physical interaction might slow the rate of new infections, but without a good understanding of how long COVID-19 viral particles survive in air and water and on contact surfaces, even this is speculative. It is possible that the fastest and safest way to flatten the curve is to allow young people to mix normally while requiring only the frail and sick to remain isolated. This is, in fact, the first time we have quarantined healthy people rather than quarantining the sick and vulnerable. As Frederick Erickson, the director of the European Center for International Political Economy in Brussels, wrote in The Spectator last week, the theory of lockdown, after all, is pretty niche, deeply liberal, and until now, untested. It's not Sweden that's conducting a mass experiment, it's everyone else. Despite Sweden's tactical success, many countries are continuing to enforce and even enact new lockdown restrictions due to new upticks in positive tests. For example, September 22 of this year, Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced new restrictions, which he predicts may remain in place for 6 months, warning that if Britons fail to follow the rules, they may be looking at a second lockdown. This, even though there is no concomitant rise in hospitalizations or deaths. The vast majority of people testing positive at this point remain asymptomatic. Meanwhile, in Sweden, infection rates have reached an all-time low. As reported by The Guardian, September 16, 2020, according to the European Center for Disease Prevention and Control, the Scandinavian country's 14-day cumulative total of new cases was 22.2 per 100,000, as opposed to 279 in Spain, 158 in France, 118 in the Czech Republic, 77 in Belgium, and 59 in the UK, all of which imposed lockdowns this spring. 22 of the 31 European countries surveyed by the ECDC had higher infection rates. New cases now reported in Sweden only from Tuesday through Friday are running at roughly the rate seen in late March, while data from the National Health Agency showed only 1.2% of its 120,000 tests last week came back positive. 13 COVID-19 patients are in intensive care in Swedish hospitals, and its 7-day average of coronavirus-related deaths is zero. Initially, Tegnell's approach came under fire as Sweden's death toll soared 5 to 10 times higher than its neighboring countries. However, Tegnell insists this early spike in death was not due to a lack of lockdowns or social distancing in general, but rather due to a failure to prevent infection in nursing homes, where a majority of the deaths actually occurred. Of course, something went wrong there, Tegnell told The Guardian. Other than that, Swedish authorities insist the strategy to encourage and trust citizens to take personal responsibility for their health and well-being has been the correct one. Contrast to other nations, Sweden's decision has also resulted in consistent public messaging about disease prevention, thereby avoiding the confusion, frustration, and distrust that comes from getting mixed messages. In April of this year, Emma Franz, science communicator and postdoctoral researcher in medical epidemiology at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, told the National Review, "The strategy in Sweden is to focus on social distancing among known risk groups, like the elderly. We try to use evidence-based measures. We try to adjust everyday life. The Swedish plan is to implement measures that you can practice for a long time." As a result of their sensible approach to the pandemic, Sweden has also largely escaped the financial ruin experiencing in other countries, including the United States. This also means that they've minimized the impact of the pandemic on mental health. As Tegnell told the Daily Mail, April 4, 2020, "We can't kill all our services, and unemployed people are at a great risk and threat to public health. It's a factor you need to think about. Indeed, preventing healthy people from working is upending the middle class in the United States and elsewhere, and, as expected, resulted in a massive rise in suicide and other tragedies. As noted by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in How the Government Uses Fear to Control, which was research from the 1980s, found that for every 1 point rise in unemployment, there were 37,000 excess deaths, 4,000 excess imprisonments, and 3,300 excess admissions to mental institutions. Kennedy also cites recent data from a hospital in San Francisco that stated they saw 1 year's worth of suicides in a single month, a 1,200% increase. And British research showing that while there were 30,000 excess deaths in nursing homes during a 5-week period during the lockdown, only 1/3 of them were due to COVID-19. In other words, the death rate from isolation was double that of from the virus itself. People didn't get the proper medical care for chronic conditions and so on. Kennedy also rightly points out that what we see and what we're already seeing is the obliteration of the middle class and the shift of wealth from the poor to the already ultra-rich. A September 20th article in the Wall Street Journal highlights the financial devastation experienced by American loan-laden white-collar middle class. Journalist Anna Maria Androitis tells the story of Alyssis Hopkins, a Rockland County, New York foreclosure and personal injury lawyer. In a good year, the 43-year-old lawyer and her husband, who was 41, together brought in about $175,000, enough to cover the mortgage, 2-car leases, student loans, credit cards, and assorted cost of raising their 2 daughters in the New York City suburbs. After coronavirus halted many foreclosures and court cases, her work dried up. Unemployment benefits have helped, but Ms. Hopkins said, the family is running low on savings and can't keep up with the $9,000 in monthly debt payments, including mortgage installments. It frustrates me not to be able to earn a living. I have a law degree and almost 20 years of practice. While lower wage workers have borne much of the brunt, the crisis is wreaking a particular kind of havoc on the debt-laden middle class. The coronavirus has spared few industries and expanded unemployment benefits. Replace the average American income that didn't cover all the lost pay of higher-earning workers, especially in or near expensive cities. The extra $600 per week payment expired in July, putting them even farther behind. What I see happening here is a core assault on successful college-educated families, which are the new breed of middle-class American families, said Anthony Carnevale, director of the Georgetown University Center on Education and the Workforce. There's a professional workforce that's getting slammed. So far, most efforts to curb COVID-19 infections have proved to be ill-advised. Evidence shows the illness spreads mostly indoors. For example, casting doubt on the sanity of closing parks and beaches, especially during the summer months. Importantly, the total all-cause mortality is not significantly different than in previous years. Many other deaths have been shifted to COVID-19, bringing a high spike in deaths, but when you look at the area under the curve for total deaths, it really doesn't differ from previous years. This statistic has also been highlighted by the American Institute for Economic Research. As early as April, they referred to COVID-19 pandemic as an egregious statistical horror story that resulted in a vandalistic lockdown on the economy, which would have been an outrage even if the assumptions were not wildly astronomically wrong. Flattening the curve was a fool's errand that widened the damage. The latest figures on overall death rates from all causes show no increase at all. Deaths are lower than in 2019, 18, 17, and 15, and only slightly higher than in 2016. An upward bias is imparted by growth. Now writing a book on the crisis with best-selling author Jay Rickards, Briggs concluded, since pneumonia deaths are up, yet all deaths are down, it must mean people are being recorded as dying from other things at smaller rates than usual. Deaths from other causes are simply being ascribed to the coronavirus. As usual, every year, deaths begin trending downward in January. It's an annual pattern. Since the lockdown began in mid-March, the politicians cannot claim that their policies had anything to do with the declining death rate. A global study published in Israel by Professor Isaac Ben Israel, chairman of the Israeli Space Agency and Council on Research and Development, shows that the spread of the coronavirus declines to almost zero after 70 days, no matter where it strikes, no matter what measures governments impose to try to thwart it. In fact, by impeding herd immunity, particularly among students and other non-susceptible young people, the lockdown in the United States has prolonged and exacerbated the medical problem. Thank you for listening to my show today. It's my sincerest desire for you to get something from it that will make your life richer, fuller, and in this time of the coronavirus pandemic, safer. I am Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual purpose: to bring you content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction, Share Your Mission, is the longest-running, single-hosted, and produced spiritually based radio internet talk show in the country. It has been continuously running for the last 20 years. I introduce you to celebrities and non-celebrities alike who have something to say about the disease of addiction in its 30 plus different forms and about the importance of finding your mission or purpose in life and acting on it. Also, as an investigative journalist, it is my desire to bring you truth just below the surface. My mission or purpose in life is to spread a message that there is a cure for all addictive behaviors. Now, this is a spiritual cure, and the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3. It is available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. In fact, if you meet three simple criteria, everyone gets well. I have two free resources where you can start your journey. The first is to follow this link to my podcast, www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B, as in boy, S-Y-N. No spaces, no capitalization. For more detail about the treatment plan, go to www.RevWynHendersonMD.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. The account is @HugoTheArtist. There you will find inspirational and educational tweets. Thanks again for listening to my program.